The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, it is the noble thing to do. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. My name is Eric Stanton. I am one of the teammates here on Living by the Word. I will be answering your phone calls, getting your questions, your open and honest Bible questions set up for you to talk to the rest of our other teammates. Before I do that, I want to mention our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy, helping us. Helping things run smoothly here. And before I introduce the rest of the team, let me give you the number to start calling in. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. Or if it makes it easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. Now let me introduce you to one of the other teammates. And I see the phone is ringing already, so let me introduce him very quickly. Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. Thank you very much for introducing me very quickly. I hope you guys can hear me okay. Am I hearing myself? Hold on.
I can hear you.
Okay, very good, very good. There we go. That's much better. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Eric, like you said, the phones are ringing. Let me give you the number again where those of you that want to call in and get in the queue with your open, honest question. Eric mentioned about Bible questions, but there's questions not only from the Bible perspective. That's what we're about, giving you answers from the Bible perspective. But you can ask any kind of question you want about life, about what's going on in the world. Anything that you believe that the Bible has an answer for, you just have a thought that, hey, maybe the Bible has an answer for this. We want you to give us that question. So please take an opportunity to call Eric right now. Get in the queue. We want to answer as many questions as we can. That number is 888-995-5552. As Eric said, 888-995-5552. And the other ways you can communicate with us, I'll give you momentarily, but I want to open up a broadcast in a word of prayer, bring up the other teammate of ours and you, the listening audience, who is actually the main teammates for this particular program. Because without you, this program would not go the way we wanted to go, which is questions and answers. So let me open up in a word of prayer, and then we get right into the broadcast. Father God, for the privilege and opportunity to come again, you saw it fit within your thinking, Father God. You thought it fit for us to be here again this week. We are here. We are alive. We are as well as we are, and we come to you with what we have. And I'm just asking and praying, Father God, that everyone that's listening to us right now, that you might do a special work on each of us. How you do that, I don't know. Why you do that is so that the kingdom of God, your kingdom, can grow. Whether you're a believer and you want to grow in your most holy faith, this broadcast is for that. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of having this broadcast to work in your kingdom. So you, Father God, do the work in us so that we might be able to do what we need to do to glorify you. Without that, if we counted on ourselves just to do it on our own behalf, we would not do that. We're going to talk about that even also, Father God, how without you, it just doesn't work. It's like a powerless anything. It doesn't have the power. But because of you, you give us what we need to glorify you. And matter of factly, in that glorification, as I say weekly, and I will continue to say weekly, that we will be edified. So in glorifying you, we'll be edified, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen. Now, I see that the phone calls are coming in. Eric asked people to call in, so folks are calling in. And I'm going to do this so I won't squint this week as I was doing last week, but I did not have my glasses. Today I have my glasses, as Ozzy see. I have my glasses, and they actually have glasses, but they work fully because the lenses are there. But one of the sides are broken. Now, I'm not saying that they ask for a donation or anything like that because my birthday is past, so I don't need to have anything like that. But I'm just trying to be proper and let you know that I can see everything very well with my little glasses here. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring someone who, well, he wears glasses too, but he doesn't need them as much as I do to see real clearly. That's my dear friend waiting for us telephonically, Professor Craig Hawkins. PCH, are you there?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. PCH, I know you didn't ask me to do this, and you probably get mad if I do it, but I know in a couple of more days, we were talking about birthdays last week. I know for a fact that in a few more days, you have a birthday. And in a few more weeks, or less than about a week and a half, our dear friend Brian, who's going to be with the Lord, he also has a birthday. You guys were both August babies. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Happy birthday, pre-birthday to you. Now,
well, thank you.
And I want to say this about birthday, because I see people send messages around about having a heavenly birthday. I don't want to be a sport or anything like that, or be a, throw water on or anything like that. But is there such a thing? Because once the birth idea is the birth that we have in this body, the heavenly birthday ideas, like maybe it's the time that a person went home to be with the Lord. And I was thinking about that. I'm saying, wouldn't that be more appropriate to say if I went home to be with the Lord, like my mom went home to be with the Lord on 2015-729? Would that be the start of her heavenly birthday? Or is that just pushing the envelope a little bit too much, spiritually speaking?
I think it just all depends on how one looks at it, Daryl.
Yeah. So it's sort of like one of those things where we just do as people, don't we? Well, this is what I want to do as people, and this is what I want to do as this program. We ask people to call in, Craig, and their lines are all lit up. So why don't we go right to the phone calls, and we can get into this show, because I have some things I want to deal with, but that can come along the line a little later on. Yes, and we will do that. So here we go. Without further ado, PCH, I'm going to bring up Jenna from L.A. And Jenna, welcome to the broadcast. Jenna, can you hear me? PCH, can you hear me? Oh, there you go. There you go, Jenna. PCH, can you hear me and Jenna?
Yes.
All right, very good. Jenna, you're on the broadcast there. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you guys.
Oh, now we're doing well. Well, Jenna, let's get into it. What's your question?
Yeah, so it was actually a question regarding Judas's betrayal. Just to provide some brief background, I was dialoguing with this one girl on social media who stated that, who was arguing that Judas was chosen because he had a good heart. And so I provided some scripture to her, and I said, well, Judas wasn't chosen because he had a good heart, but rather because the prophecy needed to be fulfilled. And long story short, she ended up saying that Jesus probably didn't even know that Judas would betray him. And again, I provided her some scriptures in John, and I told her Jesus definitely knew that Judas would betray him. After all, he's God, and God is omniscient. And so she asked me a question that admittedly left me stumped, and she asked, well, according to the scriptures then, would you say that Judas was created solely for the purpose of betraying Jesus? And so I didn't know how to answer that. and so I would like to know your guys' opinion on that question.
Well, that's a very legitimate question, a difficult question. And there's related topics you could argue or ask, okay, the devil, God knew that he was going to rebel, or if he did. Now, there are those who were into what's called open theism. Some would deny that God knew that. But the Orthodox view would be that God is all-knowing and knows everything and knows it from, in some sense, all of eternity. He doesn't learn it discursively or sequentially like we do. Even things we know, there's a time when we didn't know them and we developed that knowledge. And it's not just that God knows everything or an awful lot, but he learned it discursively, but it is all before him instantaneously, always has been, if you will. That's kind of the Orthodox doctrine. So the question is, we could ask it of Judas, we could ask it of the devil, we could ask it of anybody. Now, there are those Christians who would say, yeah, well, that's it. He really just made him to damn him, to betray him. And there are those who hold to what's called a superlapsarian view of Calvinism who would say, yeah, that's really how that works. God made them just to damn them. Now, I don't hold that view. And there's a number of ways to look at this, and why could it not be philosophically just as much possible, and that indeed, given God's nature and character and kindness and goodness, that God made everyone with desire the best for them, but that they choose evil and they bring the consequences upon themselves, and that God knows that, and so he's marked it out, he's determined it beforehand. Now, I'm not arguing here some type of mere so-called foreknowledge explains predestination. That's not my view. There's a lot more nuances here. But what I am saying is that God can know something. Indeed, he knows it from eternity. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily his perfect will for them to do that, but he knows they're going to do that, and God works within that context. And now you could bring in Pharaoh and a whole bunch of other people, indeed everybody. So this is a chestnut. It's one of the terms it's been for. It's a difficulty. I would argue not a contradiction, but it is a difficulty that we need to address. And then some people, I'll just go the extra mile here, would say, well, because you have the background in philosophy, I know, if God foreknows something, then it's predestined, or it has to happen. But even St. Augustine answered this clear back early on and said, no, God would know differently. It's not that just because God knows it has to happen, because he knows X is going to happen, it has to happen. It could simply be that God would know differently if something else was going to happen. But he allows it to happen. Clearly, minimally, he allows it. Nothing happens without his permission, in a sense of, we say, his permissive will. He allows it. It's not his perfect will, but he allows it. Just like when you have kids, you're going to let them make decisions, and some of the decisions they're going to make are bad ones. That's not your will if you're a loving parent, but you know it's necessary for them to make decisions for themselves if they're ever going to grow up and mature. And so we allow those type of things. So, I mean, her question, if it's an honest question from her heart, okay. But if she thinks that somehow some what's called a philosophical defeat or disproves God or shows that either God's a moral monster or the concept of God as defined by Christianity is incoherent, it doesn't follow at all on either one of those accounts. God simply allows him to do it. He knows he's going to do it, and God uses it. God is, I would argue, the great exploiter of evil. If I could use one last analogy, I would argue it's kind of like a chess game. God lets the opponent make any move they want within the rules of the game, and God still wins. He will still win because he is so superior. Indeed, I would argue, infinite in knowledge and wisdom and power. So I don't really see the problem here.
Right. Okay. No, that definitely helps. And she genuinely was, it seemed that she genuinely was searching for an answer. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that she was a bit troubled by the fact that this was, prophesied even in the Old Testament. It seemed it was difficult for her to understand that. And of course I explained to her that, you know, God ultimately is sovereign over all of his creation. But yeah, she genuinely was, you know, looking for an answer. But I mean, you definitely helped me out, so I thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jana. And again, it's even people who are bright, we can at best predict things, and we can sometimes fairly accurately predict what someone's going to do because we've studied them, we've watched them, we know human nature and behavior, and and this person in particular. And people, she would have a standard, I would argue, worldly view. Well, okay, God may know a lot, but he doesn't know everything. But if he does know everything, then he seems to be, now he's got this problem. So it's kind of like you're allegedly on the horns of a dilemma. He can't know this because humans don't know everything, and we want to put God in our category. Or, well, if he does know everything, then that makes him responsible for all kinds of evil. And neither are the case.
You know, Jenna, before you leave, Jenna, I want to pose this to PCH, because we didn't talk, Jenna, before the broadcast, and it's interesting that you brought the question up the way you did about Judas, because I was going to start the broadcast off with the question about Genesis 11:7, when God was saying, let us go down and confound man, and in his languages and stuff like that. And I wanted to ask the professor, how does that play into what you guys are talking about now, that if Gay had come down there to confuse man because he was building this tower up for the Tower of Babel, was God some kind of way, and again, I'm only asking it like sort of tongue-in-cheek, was God some kind of way threatened that man would be doing too much, or he was potentially able to do all that he can do, because you look at the progress of man, I mean, it's pretty amazing what man has done. How does that play into what you were talking about as far as the purpose that of Judas and everything else?
Well, I'm not sure it directly relates. I would just simply say, no, God told the people to basically spread out, to move out, and they didn't. They were concentrating. So God's not threatened by anything humanity can do. Indeed, Scripture's pretty clear in Isaiah 40 and many passages. God scoffs. God mocks. He laughs in derision of what humans try to do to thwart or frustrate him. And so God's not threatened at all. He doesn't act out of fear like we do many times. He knows what we're going to do, and our best efforts, as smart as humans can be, we're not that smart. We have a little inflated, to put it mildly, view of ourselves. We think we're all that. And to God, this is child's play. What we think is advanced strategy and so on and so forth. God is amused by, in the sense of it's almost infant, we're infantile in our attempts to disobeying God. When we continually try to disobey God, we do it not just accidentally, but on purpose. But it's not that God's threatened, it's that God knows what's good for us. And that's a concept we have trouble with, because in this day and age, we have this incredibly heightened view of we are our own masters. We don't have a nature. We choose who we are, what we are. So even the issue of gender or sex, if you will, all these things, the idea is we choose. We are God, in essence, like God, and that we decide right and wrong and who we are and what we are and what brings meaning and purpose. And we do all of this to our own detriment, because we do it in the face of what God's already commanded, such as he told them to multiply and replenish the earth, to move out, if you will. And they said, no, we'll stay here and we'll concentrate and do whatever we want.
Good point, good point. Very good. Hey, Jenna, thank you very much for your phone call. Excellent question, and good luck in those battles you have at school, right?
Right. Thank you so much.
God bless you now. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. You can call in. Eric is ready to receive your phone call. 888-995-5552. I promise to give you some other ways that you can communicate with us your question tonight, and here they are. It's one address, and it's simply Bible Info Brokers. That's Bible Info Brokers. And if you're on internet, you can do so by going to our .com website, send us an email, or it's through Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, or Truth Social. You can also send us a question. Bible Info Brokers by those areas, other formats, and we want to receive as many questions as we can from you. And we appreciate you taking advantage of that. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, at the .com website, tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social. Take an opportunity to send those questions by those formats, and we'll get to them as soon as we can. But right now, PCH, let's go to Pasadena and talk with Dave. Dave, thanks for holding on and calling in. Hello, Dave? Dave, are you there? Oh, you know what I did? Hold on one second. I did something wrong here. Let me do this again. I'll bring PCH up there, and I'll bring Dave up on this side, per instructions of our dear engineer, Ozzy. Dave, are you there? Dave, can you hear me? Wow.
Dave, yes.
Yeah, okay, Dave, we hear you in the background. You got to come to the phone, brother. This is live radio.
Okay, yeah, I was on my cell phone. So I was sitting on the table. I didn't get it.
Okay.
I'd like to get prayer for someone, Pastor Hawkins.
Sure. Yes.
Please pray for my niece. She accepted the Lord. And I would pray that she would start to take it seriously and start to grow in what she in her walk with the Lord. Her name is Hannah.
I'm sorry, Dave. I had trouble hearing you. You're asking for prayer for a friend or someone. Could you repeat
it's,
that?
Yes. It's for my niece, Hannah.
Yes.
She prayed to accept Jesus. My prayer is that she would take her commitment seriously and begin to grow.
Absolutely. We'd love to pray for that. Thanks, Dave. Father, we do
thank
pray
you
for Dave's niece, Hannah. We pray your best for her. We pray indeed that she was genuine in her confession of faith and her commitment to Christ. You'd cause her to grow and radically at that, and to be totally committed, totally sold out for you, to take this seriously and to grow in her most holy faith and become a mature disciple, a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for Dave, his love for you, and thank you for his niece. And we're just praying the best for both of them, but particularly for her, that she would mature in her faith in Christ Jesus. In his name we ask this, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Dave, very much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we do appreciate the opportunity to pray for those situations like that. And we just ask that you continue, if you have not been, just keep Maui in your prayers. We had an announcement about Hawaii we'll deal with a little later on. But just keep the people in Hawaii that's going through all they're going through in your prayers. Eric and I was talking about that PCH, and I just remember Katrina, because I missed it by one day, but it went there after the fact. Actually, it was on my brother's birthday that Katrina hit. And it's some devastating stuff that can happen to us in this world on so many different levels. So prayer, 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 please. Folks, keep everyone in your prayers. Let's go to Glendale. Oh, I'm doing it again. Hold on 1 second. I got to get used to what I'm trying to do here. And I'm going to bring up Yolanda. Yolanda in Glendale, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Hi, it's Yolanda in North Hollywood.
North Hollywood, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going by my notes. I have been confused lately about the state of the dead, so I'd like to have you and Professor Hawkins please unravel something, and I'll get specifically what I'm confused about. Now, the difference between people that believe in the doctrine of when you die, you go to sleep. And, you know, I have, and today we were studying, what book was that? Thessalonians, chapter 4, and it mentions twice about going to sleep. However, then, if you look at 2 Corinthians, 5, verse 1, it talks about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my head just started spinning. It's like, which, you know, I just needed some clarification, some assistance, please, on unraveling my confusion.
PCH, help me with those sayings, because the sleep aspect and then absent from the body aspect. What say you, PCH, in regards to those ways, those figures of speech, and matter of fact, the reality of them?
Well, sure, but more importantly, what does the scripture say and what is the church historically taught? So we have to make a distinction between a literal versus a figurative use of the term sleep. But first of all, nobody really, at least nobody that I know of, really believes that people go to sleep. They believe what sleep. People who teach that, basically, they call it soul sleep. What they really believe is you go out of existence. You're not just taking a nap and God wakes you up at the end of that, the resurrection. It's that you go out of existence and God reconstitutes you, God remakes you, and brings you back into existence. So I'm hoping this point will help clarify what the following that I'm going to say. That's number one. It's often technically called conditional immortality. And it's a view that some hold to. I don't believe Scripture teaches it, but I understand the view. But again, it's not really going to sleep.
that's just an idiom, a metaphor for, indeed, you're out of existence. You're not even conscious, if you will, because you're not aware, because you're not in existence. Now, so the other passage is like in 1 Thessalonians 4, but that's metaphorical. It's a nice way of saying, I mean, we do it today. We how often does somebody say to you, well, they're dead? They don't generally don't say that with that crassly. It's like, oh, they've passed, or they've gone on, or any other idiomatic phrase. It's just a figure of speech. I mean, because you could say, pass, what do you mean they passed? I mean, they didn't pass by me. I didn't see them. That's why I'm asking. I mean, so these are figure of speeches even that we use today. But you are correct. We could go to a number of passages, but three in particular. If we look at Philippians 1, 21, 23, now that tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord and his prophet. Excuse me. Well, what prophet is there going to sleep or going out of existence? I don't know what he says. That's not prophet. The prophet is waking up and is going into the very presence of God. But the clearer passage really is found in, and you've mentioned it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, specifically verses 7, 8, 9 through 10, whereas when we die, we are with the Lord and we are among our people. Well, the idea of being among your people has the idea of fellowship, not just you're all in a grave, mass or individually. That's not really the idea of being at home among your people. And we're with the Lord. Well, is the Lord unconscious? Is he non-existent? No, that's silliness. And then even to the second, that's a key passage. But another one would be Revelation 6, about 9 through 11, where we hear the souls of the term used for the people who are in the Lord, and they cry out to God and are demanding justice. Well, they're clearly not sleepy. They're aware. Their conscience, they're aware that they're in the presence of God, and they're asking for judgment and justice. They're not sleeping, and they're certainly not out of existence. So we could give another half dozen passages, but, again, excuse me, there's three right there.
All right. Well, you helped me immensely when you mentioned the word metaphor.
Yes.
That was the clincher. Thank you. That opened it up for me. It's metaphoric.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You know, leave to think of it. You know, like, I know you got it, but for those who might be wrestling with it, we might say, like, sunrise is at, you know, 5 whatever tomorrow. And you're like, well, the sun doesn't technically rise, but it's a figure of speech. We all know what we mean by that. Yeah, or sunset. Sun doesn't really set. It doesn't rise, but it refers to our orbit around the sun, you know, and what have you. Okay?
All right. All right, guys. Thank you that you helped so much.
Great, Yolanda. Always good to hear from you.
All right.
God bless you.
Have a good night.
You as well. 888-995-5552. We have some lines open. You can call Eric right now at 888-995-5552. We want to receive your phone call, get those questions asked and answered. Also, Facebook. I'm looking at some Facebook questions here, Christine. We're going to get to your question on Facebook momentarily and take an opportunity to sign in. Go on Facebook, Truth Social, .com website while you're on the internet, or even tweet or Messenger, and we can receive those questions those ways also. And it's one address, very simple, Bible Info Brokers on the various formats that you have, Bible Info Brokers. Ted, hold on there. We're going to get to your call momentarily. But PCH, I want to ask you this question in regards to just ministries in general. I remember many years ago we used to talk about bookstores that were in business and went out of business, bookstores that we would consider you know, good bookstores where you can get some excellent books and various things in theology. And Yolanda's question made me think of a question I also wanted to bring up today in dealing with the difference between a good systematic theology book and a good book on understanding how to read the Bible. Because Yolanda's question is an excellent question on learning how to read the Bible and to help us understand the various things that that will come up, like the question in regards to the metaphors, figures of speech, and things like that.
Sure. I have a whole bibliography of books on hermeneutics, the science and art of interpretation, and systematic theology. So, but a couple, for example, one would be a really good book, I think, is Knowing Scripture by R.C. Sproul, S-P-R-O-U-L, Knowing Scripture. And he goes through basic, what we call hermeneutical principles of how to interpret the Bible. I mean, it's really, some of it's how to interpret anything, whether it's a newspaper article or a book or magazines, sacred, secular. There's just standard principles of interpretation. Even Aristotle, in a classic book called The Art of Poetry, poetry there, though he actually means prose, what we refer to as prose, gave principles of hermeneutics. So this isn't anything new. This is something that one learns. But again, something like Knowing Scripture by R.C. Sproul. And if people want more, they can contact us, and I can give them a whole bibliography of some of the better books, starting from the simpler ones and moving to much more detailed and indeed voluminous content. I mean, up to, you know, 1,000 pages or more, but I start out with the littler ones that are still really good. Systematic theology, of course, is looking at systematizing what the Bible teaches, and there's just a number of really good books. My favorite one is out of print, but it's Systematic Theology of the Christian Religion by James Oliver Buswell. Mm-hmm. But one that's still in print that I would recommend, I think it's very helpful, very useful for the average person, in quote, would be something like Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, G-R-U-D-U-M, Wayne Grudem, maybe D-E-M. His Systematic Theology, I think, is really good. And what I particularly like about it, among other things, I think it's balanced and nuanced appropriately, but also he references many of the other standard systematics, and he says, look, basically, if you want to study anthropology, the nature of humanity, well, here's my treatment of it, but then you can go to, here's where Buswell talks about it, or Hodge, or whomever. So those are two books I think that are just really, really helpful. And I'll mention one more, H. Wayne House, just like it sounds, H-O-U-S-E, wrote a really book called Charts of Theological Doctrines by H. Wayne House.
Okay.
And it's really a lot of graphs and charts and pictorial. For those who are really visually oriented, it's just really helpful. It's basic or an intermediate level, but the charts and graphs are just really help some people to grasp the concepts. So Charts of Christian Theology and Doctrine, there we go. Charts of Christian Theology and Doctrine by H. Wayne House. That's just something that probably every Christian should have in their library, I would say.
You know, PCH, there again, so you guys must be getting information some kind of way from my house. Maybe that little ring thing on the door is letting people see what I'm downloading and stuff. But Wayne Grudem's book, I had these things on this Audible system, comes on one of these phones. And, it, you know, I had like a sort of a book a month I can do. And I have like 10 or 11 of them to use. So I literally downloaded Grudem's Systematic Theology, the two volumes, and they're 50 hours and 40 hours on the ebook. Now, you know, I listen pretty fast. So, but it's just interesting that you said that, because I will be getting into that myself as I go about the day. And I think it's a good thing to, you know, get from you the idea about what, you know, type of books we should be using to help us grow in our most holy faith. So I appreciate that, PCH. And while you're on a roll with books and suggestions, I understand that you're pretty good with the alphabets. And, you know, like the, if I just said a few alphabets, you'll be able to, like, communicate with the people what they mean. If I would say to you FFF, you would come up with something. You said R.C. Sproul, but what about FFF? What about T.O.T.? What about B.I.B.? You got anything to say about those things?
Well, I do, Daryl. I mean, in fact, the faithful friend's son is where we pay the health insurance of the widow of our dear brother, Brian Allen, who you mentioned. In about 2 weeks, we'll be remembering his homegoing, September 4th. Brian had just turned, I believe it was the 27th of August, had just turned 65.
Yes.
And we hadn't been back 2 weeks from Nepal. We had gone together with another brother and done some ministry work there. And anyways, so we believe it's Brian is a faithful brother, and is, and so is his wife and sister. And so we attempt to help pay her health insurance. And so someone could say, hey, I want to give towards that. Or just the general fund, the BIB, the Bible Info Broker Fund, that pays overhead such as the radio
airtime expense. And additionally, lastly, we have the TOT, the training of trainers. I've just been talking, in fact, got an email today from Mung, our dear friend from India, who we work with, and talking about the next TOT, the training of trainers, where we train pastors, missionaries, and otherwise Christian leaders. And we are planning that, getting that ready for coming up in not too long at all. And so people can either just give in general to the ministry, Daryl, or through it, and that would be just Bible Information Broker. It's just the general fund, or they can give towards the Faithful Friend Fund, or they can give towards the training of trainers. That's up to them, and I know you're going to tell them how they can do it.
Absolutely, Ken. I'm going to just say it this way. If you're going to mail anything in to this ministry in regards to donations or letters of encouragement, letters of criticism, whatever you want to mail in. But as far as the donations are concerned, or anything that you're going to mail in is going to be done the same way. You need to write on the envelope LBTW, and you need to write on the check money order the same thing. LBTW. Don't put on there BIB or Bible Info Brokers. Put on Living by the Word or LBTW on the envelope and or the check money order or what have you, so that the post office will make sure that it all gets to us, because they have their rules and we have to abide by those rules to be able to get the mail in the mail. So again, write out the check on the envelope to LBTW. On the envelope, you can also put P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. I must say it again just to make it, hone in there. LBTW is on the envelope and also on the any kind of negotiable instrument, the check, certified check, money order, what have you. And please make it out to LBTW or Living by the Word if you want to spell it out. And that's P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. For those of you that are on the internet, you do a lot of online banking and things like that, then you can simply do the same thing. Oh, by the way, if you're going to instruct your bank to do that, that's the same thing that applies. Even if you do it with your bank, give them that LBTW information that I just mentioned. But everybody else that's going to donate online, you can go to our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com, BibleInfoBrokers.com. Click support and donate icon, and it give you some simple instructions on how you can donate there. Don't have it up there yet, but here's the most important way, in my opinion, to give. That way, 100% of the money will come to us without any fees being taken out currently. Zelle the money. If you're going to Zelle it, it's the same liveByWord@AOL.com email address that's being used for the other ones as well. That way it's all systematized, as it were, to get into the account very succinctly. If you Zelle it, it's liveByWord@AOL.com. That's liveByWord@AOL.com. And the same thing on our support and donate online. So there you have it. If you give, you can designate, as Craig said. We really do appreciate it. We mentioned something about Hawaii, and I'll just say it this way. We were given the opportunity, if we want to purchase some time in Hawaii live, the same time that we're on right now, because of 3 hours difference. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in Hawaii right now as far as Maui and everything is concerned, but we're going to still consider that, and we're going to get back with information with you guys a little bit later on how we might consider going on in Hawaii and spread out, but it's going to be predicated upon it being paid for. So if you're interested in that, you can just, why don't you just do it this way? Why don't you just send us a note, go on Facebook and say if you're interested in seeing the ministry grow in that area. We would love to go to a much bigger market, not saying that Hawaii is not important. Obviously, a lot of things are going on, but the way we're thinking is that if it's paid for, then we can go on there. And it's for for the rest of the year, and then I'll come back and give you a price on what it actually costs, so they could be all straight up. And then if you decide to pay for it through a listening audience here and support Hawaii like that, then we'd be more than happy to have this broadcast, sort of simulcast, live in Hawaii as well. So let's keep that on your mind. If somebody out there got the Lord's money and just want to donate it all, it's probably about, I think it's $1,200 a month to be able to go into Hawaii. So 1,200 times the rest of the month, well, the rest of the year is what? Four times 12 is 48. So about $5,000. If we get a donation amounting to $5,000 and you say Hawaii on it, then we'll go on Hawaii for the rest of the year. If the offer is still there, which I believe it is. So that was a mouthful, PCH. Let me do this. I'm going to give the number where people can call in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Eric is taking care of these calls, and he wants to get you in queue so you can get your question asked and answered. Also, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social is also a way you can send us questions, and that's the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Let's go to our good friend Ted. And I did it again. You guys got to call PCAs back for me. I messed up again.
I'm here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You hold on, Ted. I'm going to put you on hold. I did something wrong. I clicked off and got rid of PCH, and he's going to love that, so he'll be able to get on my case. And Eric's going to get him back on. But let me do this for the listening audience while they're doing that. Just another quick note on this Hawaii situation. We get offers to do a lot of things in regards to growing the ministry that way, but what we're trying to be is true to the listening audience and also true to the idea that we don't want to go into any kind of heavy debt. We like the way we have the ministry going in regards to not having to take a salary or anything like that. And we want to maintain that that dynamic. And we really appreciate all the faithful people who's been giving over the years and maintaining and sustaining this ministry. And we really, really 100% appreciate that. PCH, I'm going to bring you back on. It was my fault, 100%. I take full responsibility for that click, but now I'm going to bring Ted back on. You know, I always wanted to feel, hey, Ted, how you doing, brother? I always wanted to feel how it feels to have that control. Eric, I see why you hang up on people so much. It's just like control, man. And he's pointing at me, Craig. It's almost like power, Craig. And I'm not a power-grabbing guy, but I'm glad that Ted is on. I'm glad you're back, PCH. Let's get into Ted's question.
Yes, sir. Ted, City of the Angels. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing well, but let's get into your question, bro. before I start clicking buttons again.
That's all right. If you were perfect, we'd roll out a red carpet.
There you go. Only in a game of golf, almost. All right. What's your question for us, brother?
Anyway, I make my way through South Central a lot. I shop. Went down off of Slauson yesterday getting a cross put on my Dodgers shorts for the game that I went to today.
All right.
And the week before, I got Yahweh put on the back and a cross on the sleeve. So I was ready today at the Dodger game. But at any rate, getting to the point, since I go through South Central a lot, a lot of times I love to be living the dream, Crenshaw Krispy Kreme. You know, I go to Krispy Kreme there, and I was there yesterday. And there was, a group of gentlemen out there on speakers and everything, and they leave their paperwork inside the Dodgers, inside the donut shop. So I read it, and this is what it said, and I need some feedback from you guys. So it's the way, the truth, the life. Our mission is to teach the knowledge of identity and repentance to the scattered 12 tribes of Israel, according to the Holy Bible, people of Negro descent, Native American, and Latinos, Hispanic, and Indian descent are the chosen people of God. Deuteronomy 7:6, 1 Chronicles 17, Joel 2:27. Society has falsified our history, blinding us from the true identity of the heritage, Psalms 83:4, Colossians 2:8.
Let me interrupt you because we're very familiar with what you're talking about. But what I want to do is not go through their whole program and give them all of that reading. And I would simply say this. They're basically talking about the 12 tribes of Israel are people of color basically in the United States, and because of the enslavement and all that type of stuff, and how the Bible explains how they're going to be in chains, et cetera, et cetera. So without going through all of their program, I'm going to turn over to the professor so he can talk more on it. But what was the group name? That you understand it? Was it the Black Israelites? Was that what it was?
No, I just heard them on speaker, and they're talking about, Jesus is the only way.
Gotcha. PCH.
Well, sure. And was it just one piece? Was it just a piece of paper, Ted? I'm just curious. Or was it?
Yeah. It's a piece of paper, and then they have their. Weekly magazine that could have been theirs or not. It's a handout paper, and it was all inside. I didn't have to go out there to get it, but they were passing it out. It was California Crusader News. I don't know if this is theirs, but And this pertains to Inglewood, California, and their core contributor groups, Incorporated, host and restore repair event Saturday, you know, whatnot. But you know, trying to clean up L.A. At any rate, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'm interested in getting a hold of people's literature, but yeah, there's groups, they go by various names, and there's not just one, whether the Black Israelites or Black Hebrew movement. There's various names, various groups, ranging in their radicalness. Some basically the white people can't be saved. Some that, well, white people can be saved, but they're definitely inferior. But at any rate, let me just say a couple things, because it's going to be, their actual teachings will depend on the particular group. That's why I was asking about the literature and if there's a name on it. But what I can tell you they have in common, well, first of all, let me mention, you can go to a website like Apologetics Index, apologeticsindex.org, just, you know, APOLOGETICS, and then no hyphen space dot, apologeticsindex.org, and you can look up a Black Hebrew movement or Black Israelites, and then you get a rundown of the various groups. But what they have in common, though, so there's a lot of differences, but what they have in common is, yeah, that Black people are the true Israelites, are really the true Jewish people, the people of God. And, you know, hey, if someone wants to believe that, whatever, I don't really care. Knock yourself out. But what the problem is they really believe that Jesus is just a man. He's a great man, perhaps, but he's just a man. And salvation is really through one's works. One is saved by being good enough. Now, some of them, apparently not this group, because you didn't mention it, some of them are really hostile. I mean, they cuss people out. They use expletives like their conjunctions and stuff like that. Some are really profane, and apparently you had a much, much mellower group today. But again, what they have in common is Jesus is completely redefined. He's not the Jesus of the Bible. And salvation is basically, at best, a work. It's something you do, you earn, you perform. It's not by the finished work of Jesus. And again, some think white people can't be saved. Some would say, well, they can be saved, but they need to sit down and shut up, if said politely. So that's what we're dealing with here. And then Anton Hine, again, on the website Apologetics Index, has a number of really good articles, and it goes through painstakingly many of the groups and their actual beliefs, but they're all really related to what I just said. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
right. So my question would be, now if we are all created in God's image, and I can go anywhere in the world and have a wife of any color and have a child, that means we're all related, and we all come from the same part of the world. To make any kind of statement like that is extremely racist, and they were hostile. And I did walk over there and offered some money to them, and they refused it, and they were very hostile. They were not friendly at all.
Well, sure, because of if you don't fit in ethnically. So, yeah, you and I and Daryl and Eric were in agreement where there's only one race, the human race.
Right.
There are various ethnicities, absolutely. But you need to understand, so not that I'm agreeing with them, but their views are very woke in many senses. And by that I mean that they think, you know, white people or certainly lighter colored people, particularly Europeans, Western Europeans, are the problem. Let me just mention, they're not the Nation of Islam, but it's kind of like the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. The Nation of Islam teaches that white people were actually the evolutionary creation, genetic experimentation of the mad scientist Jacob. Jacob, the mad scientist, created white people, and he did it actually on purpose for them to be gadflies, to basically be a pain in the backside of people of color, so that would prod them on to be all that they can be, and it goes on and on and on. And, well, that's not a specific teaching here, but there are similarities, such as to the teaching of Jacob, the mad scientist, and the origin of white people in these groups. And so, yeah, they see white people, again, as the problem. Salvation is through your own works, and it's very derogatory, and some of them are very hostile. Again, a lot of times it ends up being a shouting, well, not that the Christian does it, but they end up just shouting at people and often just pelting them with expletives, and as if somehow that proves their point. And we would argue, yes, that one's ethnicity doesn't matter. Jesus, no doubt, was Middle Eastern, so he would have had more than likely olive-colored skin, you know, dark eyes, dark hair, not exactly a Negroid, ethnically speaking, but definitely, you know, a Middle Eastern. But to me, I don't care if he's lily white or if he's as dark as can be, or red or pink or purple polka dot. It's really the color of his skin. His ethnicity is not the issue. And as you rightly pointed out, we are one. We are one race, and we shouldn't. There was an irony. I can't help but think of Martin Luther King Jr. and, of course, his various speeches, but talking about, you know, longing for a time when people would judge people like him not on the color of their skin, but on their character. But now today, that's ironically, it's totally flipped 180. That's considered racist. And by the way, racist today, you can say all kinds of things against different ethnic groups. Racism is only allegedly the people that have the hegemonic power. From hegemony, the word from the word coming out of Greek, which means power. So they would say, well, only the fair skinned colored people have the power. Only they can be racist. So a person could say horrible things against a white person, and that's not racist, because racism has been redefined now as simply the dominant hegemonic group of people, which is allegedly whites. And so everything's been redefined and flipped on its head. And again, it's all about, you know, finding one's identity, as if, you know, and to me, I'll be honest, I find this stuff abhorrent, just as I would of some so-called identity Christian quotes, you know, who think that, oh, God only accepts white people and you got to have, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of like Hitler's views. I mean, I think both of these are just disgusting, personally, and anywhere in between, anytime we are derogatory towards any other group of people. And that's really seems to be part and parcel of sin, is one of our main manifestations of sin, not the only, but it is compartmentalizing. It is the us versus them, you know, we versus them, and thinking for whatever reason that our group is superior. I mean, classical racism was either literally it was based upon animus, that is hatred and despising certain groups, and or the idea of superiority, that, well, my group is superior than this group, so therefore we can justify all types of practices that are really are derogatory and demeaning. At any rate, I find any and all of this demeaning, but at least we define our terms. I'm really glad you brought this up. We need to have our good friend Dr. Jerry Buckner, because this is one of his specialties, and he spent a lot of time studying this. But Ted, always appreciate your calls, and especially this one.
Amen. One more thing, matter. Guys.
Real quickly, because we got to get on to
real,
the,
real, this. Real quick. I mean, you know, I know Caucasians only make up 25% of the population of the world. So, I mean, are we really responsible for, you know, everybody in this world? And shouldn't everybody just get a job and go to work and stop pointing fingers at each other?
Sort of, kind of. But, you know, I find it quite interesting that the gentleman that Craig was talking about, this scientist, Yacoub, he was a black dude. And I just want to know this, from one black man to the scientist 6,000 years ago, was he light-skinned or was he dark-skinned? But that's just a joke. Anyway, thanks a lot, Ted. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
God bless. I'm going to ask Dr. Jerry about that. You know, I'm not going to call him a mad scientist. Was the scientist Yacoub, was he, you know, where was he from? And what? Learn about them. Anyway, PCH, we only have about 5 minutes, 4 minutes left to the top of our break. And Richard, we're going to get to your call, Tim, as well, and a couple of Facebook questions coming on the other side of the break. But PCH, I'm going to ask that, if you don't mind doing this, and the seriousness about what the question, I think it was Yolanda, who was asking a question about death? Yolanda asked a question about death. And because this is like the season where a lot of people in my family have passed away, I'm going to ask that you can help me satisfy the death issue, Craig. And I believe I have the death issue satisfied. And for me to die is gain. How is that so from a Christian perspective?
Well, Daryl, it is, because according to the Bible, is, and again, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, 23, or 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8, it's because we go to heaven. We go to be with the Lord. And we know that, Daryl, not because we're so good or we're just so smart or superior, because we're not. We don't claim any of that. It's because of the grace and mercy of God, because God shows mercy to those who admit they're sinners, admit they're imperfect and in need of his salvation, which it means his deliverance, his grace, his favor. And, you know, Daryl, the other thing is, many points that could be made is, you know, one, there's no, God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have a special group ethnically or otherwise. There's no superior group and there's no inferior group. No group gets a special privilege and no group gets, what's the word I want, gets handicapped or discriminated against in a bad sense. God is equal opportunity, if you will, to all people. That is, we're all in need of salvation, and God offers it to all of us through Jesus Christ, and one can trust in him as their Lord and Savior. That's the beauty of the gospel. This isn't, well, if you're this ethnicity or this social economic status or caste or from this tribe, I deal with this a lot in India and other parts of Asia. I'm from this tribe, and we're not as good as the others, or we're better, or our caste. No. Before God, we're all equal, but we're all equally in need of deliverance from sin, S-I-N. Our hubris, our pride, the horrible things we do to one another. We have offended God, we offend one another, and we are in need of forgiveness. We are in need of a heart transplant, and God himself gives that to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is open to any and all people. The person who's willing to trust in Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. It's not just for any given social economics group or otherwise. It is for everyone. We're all in need of the finished work of Jesus Christ, plus nothing. And, Daryl, that's the confidence we have. I know that if I should die today, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the presence of God one more time, not because I'm so smart or so good or God, I'm one of his favorites, but because I'm in Christ Jesus, because Christ died for my sins. I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior, and God has forgiven me, and he will forgive any and all listening right now who trust in Christ and Christ alone for forgiveness of their sins, of their imperfections, and know that instead of being separated from God for all eternity when you die, that you will spend eternity in fellowship with God and experience life, indeed life, and that more abundantly.
100%. Appreciate that, PCH. Listen, folks, you've heard the good news that's predicated upon taking care of the bad news, and that's why I can boldly make the statement that I made: for me to die is gain, but since we're still here, then we're going to live for Christ and give you things like this broadcast, the Bible Info Brokers, where we count it a joy and a matter of fact, a blessed privilege. Matter of fact, woe to all of us if we have this privilege, this opportunity, and not take care of the business of Bible Information Brokers and how we can perpetuate the Word of God through questions and answers. Thank you for being part of the team, the listening audience. So to continue with the other half of the show, we're going to go into the break. You can hear the music playing in the background now. We're going to go into a break right now, and when you can call Eric while we're at that break at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Call him right now, even during the break, and we'll set you up in queue and be back on the other side of these messages.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.